Well, good morning and welcome to the church that gathers here locally at Bethel. If you're watching online and joining us there, if you're watching from the VIP suites in the balcony, if you're in the cheap seats down below, welcome. It's a reminder that we gather for one reason. We gather because of the gospel, Jesus in our place. And if you have given your life to Christ by faith, let me remind you what that means. The perfect life of the Son of God was given in your place. The righteousness of Jesus Christ takes away your sins, and we can live in spiritual abundant life forevermore. That is why we gather, because Jesus has changed our life. So if you've never experienced that for yourself, why not today? Why not come to faith in Christ? As we'll see shortly, today's message is quit saying to God no. Quit telling God no. Just stop it. As we will see in Jeremiah. So if you have your Bibles, my name is Josh, one of the pastors here. I get to bring the word. For the next several months, we are going to be walking through the book of Jeremiah together. So If it takes you a while to find it, just mark your Bible because we're going to be in Jeremiah for several weeks together. Jeremiah stands as the longest prophetic book, 1,300 and something verses. The longest prophetic book in the Bible. Not only is Jeremiah the longest prophet in the Bible, you know more about Jeremiah, his ministry, his personhood, his life, his history, than any other person in the Bible save for Jesus himself. So it's easy for us to look at Jeremiah and this word become personal because you know his story. And we're going to see later, it's complicated. If you think you're the only one who has a complicated life, you're not alone. We will hear his words. We will feel his tears or trace his struggles. Jeremiah teaches us what it looks like to follow God in hard places, but with faithful hearts. So if that's you, if you say, well, Pastor, I'm walking through a difficult place today, Jeremiah is your guy. And Jeremiah is your book. Because even in hard places, we can worship and walk with the Lord faithfully. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're going to read together, we're going to pray together, and we're going to worship together like we do every week. Jeremiah 1, 1 through 3. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests living in Anathoth, in the territory of Benjamin or Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. It also came throughout the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the fifth month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. A very difficult moment in their history. Let's pray. Father, we have read your word, and now would your word read us? Father, we admit before you today that Jeremiah is not the only person in history who has walked and will walk through a difficult place of life. And Father, even today, there are many of your children here in this place watching online that today is a heavy day. Lord, even in that place, would you find us faithful? Lord, we have read your word, and may it find root in our hearts today. I pray in Christ's name, amen. Well, quit telling God no. I think technically, stop telling God no. Jeremiah reminds us that we all have a story. Everyone here has a story. And for Jeremiah, it's complicated. He comes from a priestly family, the family of Anathoth. Sounds better when you say it like that. Not Anatoth, it's Anathoth. Most likely, Jeremiah himself did not serve in the temple. His dad could have, but he lived under the weight of the word of God. He was from a priestly family. So if Jeremiah shows up in the temple, someone would have said, oh, we know you. Yeah, we remember your dad. We remember your mom and them. You're one of us. So when Jeremiah later comes into the temple with the word of God, he finds a familiar setting. So if you think it's easy for Jeremiah, you're going to find out it is not. Many of you know Jeremiah's nickname. His nickname is called the Weeping Prophet because his message was a difficult message. Jeremiah, history and scholars would connect the book of Lamentations to the book of Jeremiah. The word lament means to cry, to wail, and to weep. So he has a book attached to his name where God inspired him just to pour forth his heart in distress. And if that wasn't enough, there's a word in English, I didn't realize this till I was researching, it's called Jeremiad. And it's either a song of sadness or it's a list of complaints. So you have a word in your vernacular that means just to have a difficult place in life, a list of rants. So when you read in Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, that was Jeremiah's way of saying, hey, it's complicated. And some of you are there today, right? If we were to write your history, we would tell a complicated story. And it's a reminder that God's word meets you where you are. I've walked with some of you in these paths. Some of you have walked through much suffering in life. And in those valleys, you have said to God, God, where are you? When I am lamenting and no one sees, God, do you see me? And Jeremiah says, yeah, Josh, he does. Some of you are even today walking through bitterness because you have wounds that you have carried for years and years and years. And maybe those wounds were even caused by the people of God. I have people who I encourage to worship in our area. And often I will hear them say, well, I don't go to church because I was hurt by so-and-so or years ago. And they're still carrying bitterness. And maybe that's you today. Maybe because something that has happened to you that was never even your fault, you are walking a bitter path today. The Lord can meet you in that. Maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you say today, well, my life's easy. And I've had a pretty good path. I was the valedictorian. I never made a bad grade. I never got in trouble. I've never done anything wrong in my whole life. And people just need to suck it up. And you wouldn't say that because you're not externally arrogant, but we feel that way. Even if that's your path today, the Lord can break your heart of hardness. And even as I was praying through this, I think there's some of you today that you've been coming to this church for 85 years and you've never given your life to Christ. And you feel that you could not come to faith because what if people in this church knew you didn't come to faith? What would they think about you if you said, I'm not a Christian? You know what we would think about you? Praise God for your repentance. And maybe your path today is you need to lay down your hypocrisy and quit worrying about what the world says about you and you get real with the Lord and say, God, I want you to know me personally. And this might not be for you the 13th year of Josiah's reign, but we all have a time and place where it gets complicated. Would God become a part of your story today? Verse 5. It says, the word of the Lord came to me in all my complicated places for Jeremiah. Verse 5 says, the Lord speaks to him and says, I chose you. Before I formed you in the womb, I set you apart. Before you were born, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. If you know nothing else today, would you hear this? You are not an accident. You are not an accident. Listen to all the first person language. So God is speaking to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is saying, Lord, Yahweh is complicated. It's the 13th year of Josiah, and then he had a son, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah is going to exile. God, are you sure you picked the right person? There's no way you can work on my life. I'm bitter. I'm lamenting. They have a title for me in English, Jeremiah, that means a list of rants. And God says to Jeremiah, you are not an accident. He says, I chose you. I formed you, I set you apart, and I appointed you as prophet. This is not the language of achievement, right? This is the language of divine initiation. Some of you need to hear today, I think we all do, some of us need to hear today, you are not an accident. God has divinely knit you together in your mother's womb that you might know him and enjoy the presence of his glory by faith. And would that truth echo in your heart today? You know, this beautiful call of God in our lives, though, contains with it a responsibility. Now, I know what you might say. You might read this and say, okay, well, if God chose Jeremiah, then there's no freedom, right? The sovereignty of God has called him. He chose him even from his mother's womb. He set him apart before he was born. Did he have a choice? And if this becomes our sole focus, by the way, you have missed the weight of the moment. And we can have this debate later on, and I would love to show you why the sovereignty of God and the freedom of man are not irreconcilable. But the weight of this moment is this. God actually chose anyone. The fact that a holy God would look on a sinful person and choose Jeremiah and set him apart and appoint him as a prophet, we should say, God, what a wonderful, gracious Lord you are. And the fact that God would even choose you and shine his face upon you and me should leave us in awe-struck wonder. This is the sovereignty of a holy God. And the fact that all this would happen in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah is even more amazing. Now, you might say to me, well, Pastor, this is Old Testament stuff. Like, God doesn't do this anymore. Hold that thought. Because the Apostle Paul is wrestling with this same struggle in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, to a Corinthian church that's saying to the world, hey, our life's complicated. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the church. He says, God is faithful. You were called by him into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sound familiar? That's Jeremiah language. God has called you. He's chosen you. Let that echo in your soul, right? I mean, let me ask you then. Let's make this personal. Have you responded to God's call in your life? Look at what the Lord does not say to Jeremiah. I'm going to read it as a heretic. Verse 5. The Lord does not say, Jeremiah, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I made you ultra religious before you were born. It's not what he says. He says, I chose you. Have you responded to the call of God on your life? Was there a moment when God opened your eyes and you finally said, Lord, speak, your servant is listening? If you've never responded to the call of God on your life, why not today? And I'm going to boldly just say this. That's why you're here today. You might think that you showed up because you saw an invitation from a friend or a neighbor or your mom begged you to come to church. No, the Spirit is drawing you to convict you of sin and remind you that in yourself, your way only leads to hell. But the righteous path leads to everlasting. That's why you're here. Confess your sin. Run to Christ. Would you respond to God? And maybe today is the first day where you say for the first time, the word of the Lord came to me. Verse 4. And if you are a Christian, I've not forgotten about you. Let me remind you of you've been called by God. The question remains then, are you walking in that divine sanctifying work? God doesn't call you and say, good luck. He calls you and says, hey, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. And there are times where God should leave us. And he should forsake us. And in those moments, God still says, I am not going to leave you. I have put my Spirit inside you. I have called you. I have knit you together in your mother's womb. Dude, don't you remember who you are? Let's go. That's the call of God in our life. Would you walk in that freedom? You see, fellowshipping with the Lord should not lead us to debate, but to worship. And it should leave us speechless that God would call us. Now, some of you are like Jeremiah, and you know that God has called you. You know that he has put your word in you, but you have a lot of buts. You have excuses. And you're not alone. Look at verse 6. This is right after God grabs Jeremiah and says, I've called you, I've set you apart, I've sanctified you, I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations. But I protested. Oh no, Lord God. Look, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth. And now we have youth in our house. Every youth I know is mouthy. Youth know how to speak, believe me. So we know that's a lie. Verse 7. Then the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for you will go everywhere I send you and speak wherever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you. This is the Lord's declaration. Is it not true of us like Jeremiah? When God calls us, we stall. When God calls, we stall. We've already seen the Lord's call. I formed, I knew, I set apart, I appointed. And immediately Jeremiah answers this first person calling of God with second rate excuses. And so Jeremiah says, well, God, I can't speak. And the Lord's like, yeah, that's what Moses said. And I called him. That's what Isaiah said. And the Lord called him. It's the reminder that there's no excuse that you and I can make in our life that God will allow. And you and I are not smart enough to come up with excuses that God has not already heard. And I read this passage, I pray and I say, God, where am I saying no to you with lame excuses? Because God, if you gave me my tongue, who am I to say to you, the Creator, that I can't speak with the tongue that you created? And I read this word, and you know, we feel unworthy and inadequate, but there's no excuse that measures up to God's grace in your life. So hear this clearly. If your sense of unworthiness drives you to bow before the king and say, God, I do not measure up, that's grace. If you're like Jeremiah and you say, God, I'm going to answer all of your first person eyes. You called me, you formed me, you appointed me, but I have a lot of excuses. I am unworthy, but I will do what you call me to do because you are the one who sanctifies me. That's grace. If you hear God's love for you and your excuses lead you away from God, that's temptation. So the sense of unworthiness is not necessarily a bad thing if it leads you to bow before the Lord. But often our unworthiness can be used as a tool to create distance between us and the Lord. And here's what I know about you, and this is what you know about me, and this is not earth-shattering. You are unworthy. So when Satan comes up to you and says, hey, Tim, God could never use you because you're unworthy, we should say, well, God knew that before he called me. Satan, you dummy. Like God doesn't call those that are already equipped. He equips those who are called in righteousness of Christ. And may we just sit in this moment and say, God, we are all unworthy. And yet, your grace is sufficient. Resist the temptation to withdraw from the Lord. Rest in his call in your life. So when God calls, do not stall. And I wonder as I read this word, even in this church right now, what ministries have we not started because we've hesitated? What needs does our community have? But some of us have said, God, that's, I know it's a need, but you're calling that person to do it. God, I know you've laid it on my heart, but I really want someone else to step into this. I want someone else to lead this prayer. God, I can't do this. You're burdening me because clearly someone else has that gift. What ministries do we need because we are delaying? What neighbor in our midst today has not heard the gospel because we're waiting on someone else to share the good news with them? Listen, if you're waiting on your pastor to come share Jesus with your neighbor, God's given you as their missionary. And you think you have it bad. If I'm waiting on the pastor to come share Christ with my neighbors, that's a bad excuse. Because I'm not a pastor to my neighbors, I'm their neighbor who loves Jesus. What neighbors, what unreached people group in our world has not heard because we are delaying? Because some of you right now feel the call of God on your life and you said, surely God, I am too old, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, I'm too worn, I'm too broke. God, you have the wrong person. Second-rate excuses will never measure up to the first-person divine initiative of God's call in your life. May we be found faithful. And so to our excuses, God says, okay, I'll show you what I'm going to do. Verse 7. God calls us, we stall, but God calls us because he supplies us. So verse 6, I protest. Verse 7, immediately then the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you. I speak to everyone I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to rescue you. This is the Lord's declaration. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, I have filled your mouth with my words. See, I have appointed you today over nations, kingdoms, to uproot, tear down, destroy, demolish, build, and to plant. Here's what I love. God supplies us. He supplies you. Now, Jeremiah had a mouthy excuse, and so God said, I'm going to touch your mouth. But for us, post-resurrection, God supplies you by filling you with himself. God gives you the Holy Spirit. That is our supply, and it's not just simply the word of Jeremiah. Remember what Matthew 7 says. Jesus is reminding us to pray, and he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who love him? This is on the heels of Jesus saying, ask. And when you ask, what happens? It will be given. He says, knock and it will be open. Seek and what? He's saying, I am supplying you. And God's supply of grace never runs out. Now let me speak to our adults really quick. Some of you, when you pray like mouthy teenagers to God. You pray, we pray, and we say, Lord, do all these things. And he says, okay, Josh, here's what I want you to do. We say, no. And praise be the name of the Lord. For God supplies us every need that we have. Every need. Hebrews 4 says, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness to receive mercy, that's supply, and find grace to help in our time of need. Every excuse that Jeremiah had, he found that God supplied that need. Praise be the name of our Lord. And mark this well, the message was never Jeremiah's to begin with. Right? The word did not rise from his ability or from God. It came from God's authority. Verse 9 reminds us of that. The Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, I have filled your mouth with what? My words. My word. This is the Lord's authority. So we should share Christ with boldness. It's not your gospel. It's not, you didn't die on the cross. I didn't rise again. Jesus did that. It's, the power is in Christ. We just get the gift of sharing that. And would we do so faithful? Child of God, if you belong to Christ, then the Lord himself is your portion and your supply. In his grace, you lack nothing. And you hear this, you think, okay, let's go. Jeremiah, like, beat down the doors of hell, and everything he did accomplished much. Look at verse 11. The word of the Lord came to me and said, hey, what do you see, Jeremiah? I replied, I see a branch of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly. For I watch over my word to accomplish it. The Lord says he watches over his word to accomplish it. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see? And I replied, I see a boiling pot. Its lip tilted from the north to the south. And the Lord said to me, disaster will be poured out from the north on all who live in the land. Indeed, I am about to summon all the clans and the kingdoms of the north and destroy that which they love. It's so easy for us to read the word of God and hear, okay, I can't make excuses. When God calls, I shouldn't stall, quit saying no to God, and God's going to do everything I ask right now. What if God is calling you to do difficult things? What if God is calling you to plant seeds for an oak tree that you'll never see the shade? And I wonder, did Jeremiah expect instant results? Because Jeremiah says, okay, Lord, I'll do this. I'll do this for you because you're worth it. And God says, I'm going to give you a vision. He says, okay, Jeremiah, what do you see? He says, I see an almond tree. That's called the awake tree because it's the first tree to bloom in the spring. It wakes up before everything else. And I think it's the reminder that God is saying, my people are asleep, but I am awake. And Jeremiah is probably feeling good about himself, thinking, well, yeah, I got that one. Nailed that vision. But the second was much more difficult. The second word was, there's a boiling pot from the north and disaster and upheaval and judgment is going to come upon the people of God. Can you imagine delivering that message? There are times in our life that we have to bring difficult news from the Lord or that God's message is difficult in our lives. And I read this and I wonder, was Jeremiah successful? Was Jeremiah successful? Because by the world standards, and I'm going to tell you the end of the story, by the world standards, God's people go into exile. So if you're expecting revival, if you're expecting the people of Judah to hold hands and sing Kumbaya at the temple, and Jeremiah is playing his guitar, and they're singing in Hebrew, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. That doesn't happen. By the world standard and by our standards, Jeremiah is a failure. And I wonder if some of us feel like that today. That you've been faithful to the Lord and you've never seen fruit. And you read this and you say, God, I did exactly what you wanted me to do. I saw the almond branch and I believe you were going to wake up and you were going to do something beautiful in my life. And God, the second message was a boiling pot and it scalded me. This is the message of Jeremiah. In God's kingdom, success is measured in faithfulness. Success is measured in faithfulness. Do you remember what Jesus says? He says, in glory, one day people will hear, well done, good, and he doesn't say, well done, good and successful servant. He doesn't say, well done, good and high-achieving servant. You know what the Lord says to us? Well done, good and faithful servant. And I have to believe some of you today, you look at your life and you say, God, I've not done anything. And the gospel answer to you is this. If you have been faithful to the Lord, dear sister in Christ, dear brother, you have done everything. Well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. For all those who are weary, for you who have preached and prayed for your neighbor, for your son, for your daughter, for your mom, for your dad, and you don't see any results, keep praying. Keep preaching. Keep sharing. For all who have encouraged and served and you don't feel like you have ever made a difference, keep serving. Keep giving. Keep being faithful because the Lord will accomplish his word. Look at what he says to Jeremiah. He says, what do you see? Verse 10, 11. I see an almond branch. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly. Why? Because God says to us, he will watch over his word to accomplish it. That means, church, there is nothing in the word of God that will not be carried to completion. Because the Lord watches. Not over his word alone, but he watches over you. Be faithful. Where does this leave us? Well, God calls, and too often we stall. We hesitate. God speaks. We excuse. The question in Jeremiah 1 is, will we quit telling God no? Will you quit telling God no today? Because if he has called you, he's already supplied what you need, right? Would you simply just say, God, I'm going to give you a blank check again. And Lord, just know there's no money. There's no money in my bank account where the check's coming from. But I trust you, Father, that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. And even if we could exhaust all the cattle on all the hills, God has other hills. The storehouse of his grace will never run dry to you. And I just ask you, would you just pray before the Lord today and say, God, I won't tell you no again. God, my yes is on the table. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll give what you want me to give. I'll serve. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Forgive me when I met your first person calling with second-rate excuses. What would happen if we all did that today? If we just say, God, no more no's. It's yes, Lord. Speak. Your servant is listening. And as we read Jeremiah, this is not ultimately about the prophet Jeremiah. It's about Jesus Christ. Think about in the garden where Christ says, he prays, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup. And in that moment, was Jesus tempted to tell God no? But Philippians 2 says, no, Jesus became obedient to the Father. He said yes to the Father, taking your and my place, obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus said yes in willing obedience to the Father that you might have forgiveness of your sins if you place your faith in Christ. Have you done that? And if not, will you do that? And this has been a message about excuses. What excuse are stopping you right now from following Christ? Because if your excuses are leading you away to the throne, those are temptations. May your unworthiness lead you to bow before the Lord. And dear Christian, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. We go not in our strength, but his. Go to the neighbor that you avoided. Go to the ministry that you've delayed. Go with a steady hand, a humble heart, and a fearless faith, knowing that God will accomplish his word. And may you hear today from the Lord, well done, good and not successful servants. Not well done, good and religious servants. Not good Baptist servants. If I can only hear one thing in life from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. And dear Christian, if you have been faithful, if you think that you've not done anything in life, if you have been faithful, you have done everything that God has asked you to do. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing like it matters. We're going to respond like it matters, and we're going to give like it matters. Father,